my left foot. I was now 5, and still, I showed no real sign of intelligence. I showed no apparent interest in things except with my toes, more especially those of my left foot. Although my natural habits were clean, I could not aid myself, but in this respect, my father took care of me. I used to lie on my back all the time in the kitchen or on bright warm days out in the garden. A little bundle of crooked muscles and twisted nerves, surrounded by a family that loved me and hoped for me, and that made me part of their own warmth and humanity. I was lonely, imprisoned in a world of my own, unable to communicate with others, cut off, separated from them, as though a glass wall stood between my existence and theirs, thrusting me beyond the sphere of their lives and activities. I longed to run about and play with the rest, but I was unable to break loose from my bondage. Then suddenly, it happened. In a moment, everything was changed. My future life molded into a definite shape. My mother's faith in me rewarded, and her secret fear changed into open triumph. It happened so quickly, so simply after all the years of waiting and uncertainty, that I can see and feel the whole scene as if it happened last week. It was the afternoon of a cold, gray December day. The streets outside glistened with snow. The white sparkling flakes stuck and melted on the window panes and hung on the boughs of the trees like molten silver. The wind howled dismally, whipping up little whirling columns of snow that rose and fell at every fresh gust. And over all, the dull, murky sky stretched like a dark canopy, a vast infinity of grayness. Inside, all the family were gathered round the big kitchen fire that lit up the little room with a warm glow and made giant shadows dance on the walls and ceiling. In a corner, Mona and Patty were sitting, huddled together, a few torn school primers before them. They were writing down little sums onto an old and chipped slate, using a bright piece of yellow chalk. I was close to them, propped up by a few pillows against the wall, watching. It was the chalk that attracted me so much. It was a long, slender stick of vivid yellow. I had never seen anything like it before, and it showed up so well against the black surface of the slate that I was fascinated by it as much as if it had been a stick of gold. Suddenly, I wanted desperately to do what my sister was doing. Then, without thinking or knowing exactly what I was doing, I reached out and took the stick of chalk out of my sister's hand with my left foot. I do not know why I use my left foot to do this. It is a puzzle to many people, as well as to myself, for although I had displayed a curious interest in my toes at an early age, I had never attempted before this to use either of my feet in any way. They could have been as useless to me as were my hands. That day, however, my left foot, apparently by its own volition, reached out and very impolitely took the chalk out of my sister's hand. I held it tightly between my toes, and acting on an impulse, made a wild sort of scribble with it on the slate. Next moment, I stopped, a bit dazed, surprised, looking down at the stick of yellow chalk stuck between my toes, not knowing what to do with it next. Hardly knowing how it got there. Then I looked up and became aware that everyone had stopped talking and was staring at me silently. Nobody stirred. Mona, her black curls framing her chubby little face, stared at me with great big eyes and open mouth. Across the open hearth, his face lit by flames, sat my father, leaning forward, hands outspread on his knees, his shoulders tense. I felt the sweat break out on my forehead. My mother came in from the pantry with a steaming pot in her hand. She stopped midway between the table and the fire, feeling the tension flowing through the room. She followed their stare and saw me in the corner. Her eyes looked from my face down to my foot with the chalk gripped between my toes. She put down the pot. Then she crossed over to me and knelt down beside me, as she had done so many times before. "I'll show you what to do with it, Chris," she said, very slowly. And in a queer, choked way, her face flushed, as if with some inner excitement. Taking another piece of chalk from Mona, she hesitated, and then, very deliberately, drew on the floor in front of me the single letter A. "Copy that," she said, looking steadily at me. "Copy it, Christy." I couldn't. I looked about me, looked around at the faces that were turned toward me, tense, excited faces that were at that moment frozen, immobile, eager, waiting for a miracle in their midst. The stillness was profound. The room was full of flame and shadow that danced before my eyes and lulled my taut nerves into a sort of waking sleep. I could hear the sound of the water tap dripping in the pantry, the loud ticking of the clock on the mantel shelf, and the soft hiss and crackle of the logs on the open hearth. I tried again. I put out my foot and made a wild, jerking stab with the chalk, which produced a very crooked line and nothing more. Mother held the slate steady for me. "Try again, Chris," she whispered in my ear. "Again." I did. I stiffened my body and put my left foot out again, for the third time. I drew one side of the letter. I drew half the other side. Then the stick of chalk broke, and I was left with a stump. I wanted to fling it away and give up. Then I felt my mother's hand on my shoulder. I tried once more. Out went my foot. I shook. I sweated and strained every muscle. My hands were so tightly clenched that my fingernails bit into the flesh. I set my teeth so hard that I nearly pierced my lower lip. Everything in the room swam till the faces around me were mere patches of white. But I drew it. The letter A. There it was on the floor before me, shaky with awkward wobbly sides and a very uneven center line. But it was the letter A. I looked up. I saw my mother's face for a moment, tears on her cheeks. Then my father stopped and hoisted me onto his shoulder. I had done it. It had started, the thing that was to give my mind its chance of expressing itself. True, I couldn't speak with my lips, but now I would speak through something more lasting than spoken words, written words. That one letter, scrawled on the floor with a broken bit of yellow chalk gripped between my toes, was my road to a new world, my key to mental freedom. It was to provide a source of relaxation to the tense, taut thing that was I, which panted for expression behind a twisted jump.